It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies. Feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
So Michael Carroll's back. He'll join us tomorrow. Raheel Ronconale will join us after the segment. Got me thinking. Sean, we didn't. I don't know if we talked about it other than the trailer initially. Did you see John Wick Ballerina?
No, I haven't seen it yet. I might just wait until it's so it comes at home.
Home theater? Yeah, you might.
Because I need to get on 28 Years Later.
I got to watch 28 Years Later, too.
Yeah.
Michael Carroll has seen it.
And then F1. They're piling up.
Yeah, there's plenty I have not seen. Michael Carroll, I think, has seen 28 Weeks Later. He gave a bit of a review online. We can talk about that with him a little bit tomorrow as well. So, yeah, it's like normally we'll get a call or two about TV and stuff. And I was like, I don't know if I got one right now for people to watch. I'm waiting. There's some stuff coming up. Like we mentioned, Alien Earth is coming up. But that's far away.
Season 4 of The Bear
just
dropped.
Yeah, I did see that.
Haven't started it yet. I mean, it dropped last night, so I haven't started it yet.
Yeah, I will be someone who really needs to catch up. Maybe I'll use this weekend. There's no hockey. There's no NBA. Maybe I'll use this next couple of days to watch and catch up on The Bear. It's probably a good spot for that, as really there's only really Astros baseball to focus on right now. So, yeah. But we'll do that with Michael tomorrow. I'm sure he'll have some suggestions for us. I did watch.
When's Gilded Age dropping?
It dropped last week. The first episode was last week.
Oh, it's week by week.
Week by week. Okay. It's in that prime HBO spot. So they're only going to do it one at a time.
On the list after most of the theater movies and The Bear. But I'll hit you back with what I think about Gilded Age.
I don't know if it's for you.
What?
I don't know. I said I don't know. It doesn't appear to be something that would be for you because you haven't mentioned watching period piece shows before.
Downton Abbey. I watched Downton Abbey.
Okay. This is somewhat like that, but it's more – it's less about – you know, it has the upstairs, downstairs quality. The rich people and the people working for them, there's some of that too. And there's like robber baron stuff in there too.
Ooh,
so it's a little bit like that. So – But it's set in America, Downton Abbey for people without accents, without English accents. So
red, white, and blue, Downton Abbey.
Yeah. And as I've said before, I love a Farmiga, whether it be Thaisa, the younger sister, who's in her 30s, and just to be clear, everyone, and she's not like a teenager, but and then Vera, who's older than her. But yeah, so I love that show. It's fun. You don't have to always be an active watcher, but, you know, there'll be some funny jokes in there as well, just like rich people saying awful stuff about other rich people I like to laugh at. So it's there. It's there for you if you want to watch The Gilded Age. Season 3 has premiered. I don't know if Calvin Murphy watches The Gilded Age.
I could see it going either way.
You never know what he's into on a Sunday night when there's no basketball to watch. But he was interviewed, or at least he had some time to talk about the trade, the big trade. Kevin Durant in town will be a Rocket. Not officially yet. That won't happen until July 6th. But Kevin Durant will be a Rocket, and that means Dylan Brooks and Jalen Green are not Rockets anymore. So here's Calvin Murphy on the acquisition of Kevin Durant and also the departure of Green and Brooks.
Big, 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 big for the Rockets. Big, big, big. They finally got a player that they can go to, the go-to man in the last 4 minutes. You know, somebody that's been there, done that. I'm surprised they were able to get him. I'm glad they got him. But, you know, Dylan the Villain was my man. Hate to see him go. But it's all about business. I had a chance to say goodbye to him. And, of course, with Jalen, you know, fourth year, I kind of suspected something was going to happen after that playoff series. But both of them are very talented, and they're going to do well. But to go back to your question, having KD here, it don't get no bigger than that. Right now, the expectations of getting to the finals are very, very, very high. I'm talking about with me now, not the fan. You know, this is my 57th year with the Rockets. And when you can get something into the organization to excite me, you've done something well.
So that's the thing. The expectations. They were surprising and fun last year. Now, anything less, at least in Calvin Murphy's eyes, look, there are difference. I guess there's a difference between expectations and what's a disappointment. So if they don't make the finals, I don't know if Calvin Murphy would deem it a disappointment if there's a deep run. But you make that trade to accelerate your opportunities to win big. That's what Kevin Durant's here for. Whether he wants to play past 40 or not, whether he wants to sign an extension that isn't the max he can make, which somehow is out there, but we don't even know from where, honestly. Whatever. But he's here, which means you need to be on a path to winning, because why else would you make the trade? So we'll see what else is there, because now with the Fred VanVleet extension, they will operate under the first apron. They won't be paying tax, which means they have access to the non-tax pyramid level, which will be $14+ million. You can add a legitimate rotation piece with that type of money, a good one. Who will that be? We've had these conversations, whether it be a shooter like Gary Trent Jr. or Malik Beasley or something else, whatever they think they are missing. But you have that utility to add a piece to your roster. So when we talk about them as a complete team, whenever that is finalized come October, as far as the opening day roster, opening game roster, should that team be a title contender? The betting odds say yes. The betting odds say right now, even without knowing what else will be done this summer, that's a team in the Rockets who are going to be in the OKC realm. They're not the betting favorites like OKC is, but they're a solid 2-3, depending on how you feel about the Nuggets and the Wolves. They're right in the mix. So I don't think Calvin Murphy is wrong in mentioning a title and what the expectations should be. I do believe that if you start to look at some of these builds, particularly if the team isn't already set and you're just adding a piece, like this team has playoff success and you're just adding a piece to put you over the top, that aside, because the Rockets weren't that last year because they didn't get out of the first round, it generally takes a year to go through it and then to tweak it the next offseason. You look at the roster, okay, maybe we get to the second round. We push a team or however it ends. And then we go, what's missing? Now you have two playoff runs with the bulk of the roster. Now you would have a real good idea of who's who and what are they capable of, at least in the short term, when you're trying to win a title of Kevin Durant. And then you could decide who's good for the roster, who isn't. This is not even me talking about compiling a guys and picks to go trade for Giannis if he would want to come here and play with KD. Just a smaller move. Like we've mentioned, what if Trey Murphy has another awful time in New Orleans? Does he become someone who is under contract even after this year, upcoming year, for another three? He just signed an extension that's going to kick in. Maybe that's the guy you think finishes the build. And not only that, he's a younger player. So when Kevin Durant's time is gone, now you have, as I was talking to people, your knockoff KD. He's shorter, but given the opportunity this year to be more on ball because of all the injuries with New Orleans, he became a guy who, with the long limbs, he could dribble above the arc. He could get his own shot. Like I said, a great value KD, whatever you want to call him.
All right. You know what? You're Mikal Bridges until do it again.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Do it again. Mikal Bridges had a hot couple months.
And that's what Trey Murphy had before he got hurt. Mikal Bridges was great value KD. Now he's like, oh, you're just Mikal Bridges. You're not even. We don't see.
He's his own thing.
We don't see the upside anymore. You're just Mikal Bridges. Trey Murphy is the next in line of those guys. Yeah. Happens to wear 25 just like Mikal Bridges does. Trey Murphy played at Rice. Did not know that initially. He transferred to Virginia. That's where I know him from. Yeah. But he did play at Rice. Okay. So City of Houston calling him home.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. We'll see. So that's just an example of adding a piece that isn't a major star, but that could be a piece you believe puts you over the top. So I think I wouldn't say they need to win a title in year one. I think because that feels like really high expectations.
There's like, I don't know how many teams go into a season. Maybe like one
or
two.
How many believe, saying they have to win?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like maybe one.
Like this year, let's think. The Celtics definitely said it. The Thunder said it.
Probably.
The Nuggets, because of already winning, the core of that group had already won one. Yeah. So they maybe not have to, but believe they should be.
Expectation.
They probably believe they had a real shot of winning because OKC was young. They got knocked out in the second round last year. Who knew they were going to be this juggernaut? Anybody else?
I mean, the Cavs, but that's more by February or March.
Yeah, going into the season, did they think they were going to be as good as they were?
Yeah. Knicks?
Well, they built a team to try to beat Boston. Happened that they did, and then they couldn't beat the next team.
Milwaukee?
Even that Milwaukee team, would have been delusional to believe that they were a real title contender. I mean, it was Dame and Giannis
that's like
a bunch of stuff.
East Finals, I think.
You get lucky, maybe a guy gets hurt and just happened to be their guy. But a guy gets hurt, maybe you make a finals, but you're not really, really one of those.
So, to me, I think the Rockets, it's like must make second round. I think West Finals is like good season.
It's a great, I would even, good to great if you make a West Finals.
Yeah. And then making the finals, it's like best case scenario.
Yeah, well, but if you make the finals, then you're probably winning it, considering the East. If you're going – now, that's not a guarantee because we were saying that about OKC, and if Indiana doesn't lose game four, they're winning the title, most likely. But if you run through the East, you're heavy favorite to win the finals.
Yeah, let's see what the Cavs look like next year because I think the Cavs might just be the team that, like
– Who – well
– No team can actually get on their level.
Because everyone – is either not as good or if they were going to be as good.
But they've gotten hurt in the second round the last two years.
Do the Cavs have a star who can get out of second round? Because Donovan Mitchell has not proven that to be the case of yet.
Darius Garland.
Do the Cavs have a star?
Sam Merrill.
That's not a star. And the Cavs were apparently approached by the Suns when they were trying to trade Kevin Durant. Hey, you want to give us Darius Garland?
I'm sure they were approached with that.
And the Cavs wanted Durant and assets. They weren't just going to be like, we're going to give you Darius Garland and we're gonna give you another thing to make it work.
And
they
wanted more. Problem with that is...
No, Kevin Durant said the problem with that is I don't want to be in Cleveland. He got involved, which is what he did quite a bit, and that's why he is now a Rocket.
That's my secret. Kobe Altman of the... Cavs, I don't have any assets. Kevin Durant is my asset.
Yeah, what could possibly they have wanted?
The Mark Williams trade package, the two first round picks?
Probably.
Even though one was 29 last night, so like...
Yeah, but
first round pick.
But they needed something to make that deal work. Maybe throwing a Royce O'Neal. I don't know what they're looking for. Another wing. Don't you have enough of those?
Nick Richards mentioned
Sam Merrill, Dean Wade, Max Strus. You needed a Royce O'Neal. Yeah. I don't know what the Cavs are looking for other than picks besides Kevin Durant, but that's the trouble the Suns are in, where you're offering them Kevin Durant, and the Cavs are like, we're going to need more.
Yeah, what else?
We're going to need more before we trade you our small point guard. Come on. Ante up.
That's also crazy that they're like 6'1" point guard. That's what we need.
Well, at least it's not another shooting guard, I guess is what they're thinking. And instead, they did get another shooting guard in Jalen Green, who we just heard from Calvin Murphy, kind of felt like he was out, considering what happened in the playoffs. All right, when we come back, we'll hear from someone who was here and then was out, but he's back. Raheel Ramzanali will join us to talk about what's going on in the city of Houston. He is the host of CityCast. It's a podcast covering all the big things in Houston. We had a moment in Houston. I don't know how big it is, but it did go viral. If you missed it, a man jumped from, what was the third floor, second floor of the Galleria? Either way, he landed on the ice, and I hope he didn't cripple himself, but he messed some stuff up at least. We'll talk about that and more of Raheel when we come.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We got the host of CityCast with us. Raheel Ramzanali joins us. You can check out the website, houston.citycast.fm. And, of course, listen to it wherever you listen to a podcast. Wherever you listen to a podcast, CityCast is available for you. And so is Raheel. And he's available to us again. What's up, Raheel?
What's up, Del? Sorry about the last few weeks. I missed out on my slotted time to come on the most popular show in Houston, the Del Olalea Show.
Proof of that.
Well, it's my proof. If I say it, it's real, right?
Like, that's kind of how the world works now. If I say it, means it has to be true. Yeah. So, according to sources, Del Olea Show, the most popular show in the city of Houston, and we're joined by the man who hosts the most popular podcast in the city of Houston. Sources, me. CityCast here, host CityCast for Hill Robbins and Ollie. So we had a very viral event happen in the city, and I was reading up on it during the break. Have you heard what the witness said at the time of the man? Of course, I'm talking about the man who jumped from the second story of the Galleria onto a sheet of ice and predictably injured himself in a way where he had to be taken to the hospital. Did you see what the witness said that the man said as he was running away from the police?
Did he say Leroy Jenkins?
Close. He said, "Come get me," and then jumped, no. And then jumped to his doom.
Man, this story is so wild. I know you've talked about it throughout the week, and it is the most viral video in Houston right now, possibly across the nation as well. I'm seeing everyone share it. But just to break it down, one, the person who broke his leg, he recorded himself taking sunglasses and like openly stealing, from what I gather. And then he runs, and then Slim Thug, yes, that Slim Thug of all people, got the video of the actual jump. I don't know if you've seen, have you seen the actual jump? Like, he looks down and just goes for it.
I did
and
see it.
And sure enough, it's crazy. He looks like Rick James on the couch after getting beat up. like, his legs aren't working. I mean, it's not funny.
It's a little
funny. But that's what it reminded me of. It's wild what's happening at the Galleria, man. And like, of course, the viral video, the craziness of it all. Like, we take a zoom out of all this. Do you go to the Galleria? Like, do you feel safe going to the Galleria? Because now we see, you know, three straight weeks of shootings. A couple of weeks ago, we learned about that. There was a man who just opened fire in the garage, and it was all captured on video. That man has been arrested. We see this video, like the theft, in the comments on Instagram on Fox 26's page. They posted that the Galleria is the second best mall in the nation, and notable Houstonians start teeing off on the Galleria. Like, what? Why is it popular? Because you want to go there and get followed home and robbed? Do you want to get robbed in the parking garage? Do you feel safe going to the Galleria?
So I don't spend a lot of time in the Galleria, and I know it's right near the station, but if I'm going to a mall, it's generally the mall near my home. And according to the witness who said the guy who broke his leg said, "Come get me," he says, "I don't know why this guy tried this. There's a heavy police presence." The witness is named Martin Norris. He says the police are everywhere in the Galleria, which I guess they're trying to give the impression of it being safe, but I have not been there in years, to be honest. It's just I just don't think about going to the Galleria after work, so I just don't spend time there. I did not know that it had gotten that bad, but that parking lot is sketchy, particularly the covered parking lot, because as it's covered, there's not a lot of security there. If you're walking to your car, all someone has to do is see you walking out, and there could be real trouble. And it's not really open air, so it's tough. You should be concerned if you are alone, just because it does give people who are looking to maybe hurt you an opportunity.
I think in general, you should be very alert and aware when you're in a parking garage. Have I told you I have a deathly fear of parking garages? Like, I literally get like anxiety when I'm in a parking garage. I don't know what caused this. I don't know why, but when I used to work at ESPN Houston, I would go to the Galleria all the time during lunch. Like, I would go walk around, just, you know, go get buy things I needed, go eat, whatever. And I would always walk there because I didn't want to park in the garage. And this was, you know, how long ago, Del? What year? Almost 10 years ago, like when I started at ESPN in 2015. So, I don't know, man. Even when I go shopping there, I don't go on the weekend. If we need to buy a big ticket item or something, I always park in the outside lot across the street just to be safe. And then I always like just make sure, am I being followed home? Crime is all about perception, right? The numbers might be down, and you know, elected officials will tell us like, "Hey, no, things are good," but it's all about perception. And the Galleria has a major perception issue right now.
Even before ESPN 975 where we worked at 1560. That was a place we would go to. It was me, you. Did Frank come along sometimes? We would just go over there.
Frank would come, yeah.
Have lunch. It was we were the lunch crew. Most of it was spent commiserating about how miserable some of us were. I'll keep their names out of it. But we would go over
for
there.
Heel.
yeah, for real. We would go over there and have lunch. I think we did. Did we do a lot of walking? I think we might have walked there at the time as well. So. Yeah, as you said, perception matters quite a bit. No matter what the numbers are, all it takes is one time, either for it to happen to you, or to see it happen to someone, or to read a story, and all of a sudden you're on high alert. And maybe that's just how life should be at this point. It's a tough way to go through life, but all it takes is that one time for you to be unaware, and then your life can change dramatically. This story that brings the questions about the Galleria to our attention is funny because of how things came about, and no one but the person involved in a theft was hurt. Unfortunately, it's kind of like danger all around. And the Galleria, mm-hmm. despite kind of the glamour of you saying the Galleria and all the high-end stores, you still got to make it to your car, and that can be treacherous, yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah, it's sad, man, because the Galleria is a fun place, man. I know we don't go because we're older now, but like for teenagers, for you know, people in their mid-20s, it's a fun place, like to go meet up, to gather, to hang out, to go eat, to shop, whatever. But yeah, it sucks that like this is happening right now at the Galleria.
And it's interesting because it is a tourist place. Anytime someone from out of town comes in, they mention the Galleria and wanted to go there. I'm like, okay. I mean, you can get those Capri pants someplace else. Auntie, you don't have to go to the Galleria for that, but if you want, I guess we can make that trip. Okay, so that's the big video in Houston, but maybe a bit of an underplayed thing is something you brought up. It's a big story, and frankly, it involves someone dying, so certainly something that should be discussed. Inmate deaths at the Harris County Jail. What's up?
Yeah, so I don't know if you know, like in the last 3 years, have you heard about this at all, what's been happening at Harris County Jail?
You know, I've seen a news report or two, but it's not something I've done a lot of research on.
No, and that's totally fair. A lot of Houstonians don't know, right? Because they think jail, and they immediately just dismiss it, right? They're like, oh, so what? Inmates are dying. Well, this is a big thing, right? Like, when you're in jail, you're supposed to get your day in court. Well, in Harris County, you know, going back to 2022, there were 27 people who died while in the custody of the county jail. 2023, 19 people died. It opened up an FBI investigation, Dell. Like, it got really bad, right? And there were several issues: overcrowding, not enough people working, just running out of space. There's just so many different things at play here. Well, the numbers kind of got under control in 2024, but we have another spike in the numbers in 2025. We're only 6 months through the year, and there have been 10 deaths already. And there were three in a span of 48 hours, Dell, just recently. Things are getting really bad at the Harris County Jail, and there just seems to be no solution, whether it be outsourcing some of the people who are being held right now in the jail to other facilities. Harris County has done that before, and then they decide to bring them back. Hiring more people, retaining more staff. There's just so much at play. And this is a big thing that the sheriff's office, who manages the jail, needs to figure out. And then District Attorney Sean Teer, he was on CityCast Houston with me. He's a friend of the morning show, Lance Erline, John Granato. He's been on with them as well. We talked about it. Like, how do you solve this issue? This is something that is going to, you know, definitely impact his tenure as DA. And I think the county in general and Houston as a city, I know it's not a Houston problem when it comes to city government, but it defines our city that Harris County Jail keeps having this, keeps like running into this issue. It's really sad.
So, yeah, you brought up a point that the thought of an inmate being in jail, most people think, at least, well, I'm sure they did something, at least they're away from me. But you don't actually think about what that person is and their life before they are incarcerated, as far as like the last three I'm reading on the Houston Chronicle all died from medical emergencies. Like, you think of what we see in movies and TV. Oh, there's a fight in jail and someone gets stabbed and they're dying. These are people who went in ill, And sure, they did something, or at least they're alleged to do something that got them arrested and put away. But whatever they were dealing with health-wise still remains. It doesn't change just because you're now in jail. And so I'm just looking at the three people listed on the Chronicles in the Chronicles article about it. All medical emergencies. They were at the they had to be taken to a local hospital, and they died there. And these are all within they're all within the last week. Whether it be
48-hour span,
June 23rd, June 22nd, another June 22nd, all of them passing away after spending time in the Harris County Jail, and a lot of it has to do with what you talked about, lack of people there to even be aware of something like this, or lack of proper medical attention. So it is something that we don't acknowledge. We just that's a person who's shouldn't be part of society, no matter what the crime is, and then days later, after entering the jail, their family's planning a funeral. So, that's.
I know we're running out of time here, but I'll leave you with this quote. And this is in Houston Public Media's story. If you want to read that one, just go to HoustonPublicMedia.org. But this comes from the executive director of the Texas Jail Project, Krish Gundu. And he says, quote, "After being in contentious noncompliance for over 3 years, Harris County Jail continues to be an engine of death, disease, and violence, as evidenced by the latest series of custody deaths and lawsuits for use of excessive force." And it's chilling, man. It's chilling what's happening there. And hopefully we can figure this out.
Give that website where people can read more about that again.
HoustonPublicMedia.org.
HoustonPublicMedia.org. And, of course, if you just want to take a look at what Houston CityCast has to offer, you can go to Houston.CityCast.fm. Certainly there are some lighter subjects if you want that, whether it be your guide to the Strand in Galveston. They're honoring DJ Screw tomorrow. There's a lot going on. They got the best food in Montrose. So
I don't want to cut you off. Go ahead. Sorry. I hate you, but Eric Sandler, Culture Map Houston editor, was on with me on yesterday's episode breaking down some food news, and we went viral on Instagram because I posted a clip about how fajitas are $70 right now. Like, it's so expensive.
Fajitas are, what do you mean $70?
Yeah, a fajitas for two people right now, $70.
Huh. Is that two fajitas per person that wind up? What are we talking about?
Fajitas
here?
For two. Like, it's probably like a pound of fajitas.
Of fajita for $70.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
I don't want to mention the taco place I'm going to now, but it ain't $70. Mm-hmm. No free ads. But it ain't $70. What are we talking about here?
I know. And nobody's calling them out. Like, we keep calling out barbecue places for being super expensive. But these Tex-Mex joints are just raising the prices, and it's gotten so expensive. It started trending on Instagram. It ended up getting, like, as of right now, as we're speaking, there are 365 shares. So people are really upset about this. So if you want to listen to that episode in the full context of it, and also we're talking about the James Beard Award-winning Thomas Billy of Belly and the Beast. He won the James Beard Award. Check that episode out. It's on Houston.CityCast.fm.
Yeah, look, the other stuff, dark, ugly stuff. But for the casual listeners, like, guys, what are you doing? Well, $70 fajitas, people. That's what's going on in the city. It's an outrage, Raheel. An outrage.
It's an outrage.
So I'm glad you brought that to our attention. Did you mention the names of these places, or is this a general thing when it comes to Texas?
Oh, no. In the episode, Eric called him out. Eric Sandler was not messing around, okay. And I hope we get some change.
Okay, so if you want to hear that entire thing, you said you can go to Houston. You can listen to that on the podcast right now.
Yep, right.
Okay,
now.
So if you want to know the names of the fajita place or Tex-Mex places charging you a ridiculous amount for their chicken and beef fajitas, you can listen to Houston City Cast for that. Thank you, Raheel, for joining us. What did you think? We haven't talked any sports. What do you think about the finals?
Man, heartbroken. That I had no dog in that fight. I thought OKC was going to win that series in four. I thought they were just that much better of a team. But, man, the way Indiana played, the fight, the coaching, you know, the guy stepping up, it was so much fun to watch. And to end the way it did with Hal Burton's injury, as a basketball fan, as somebody who plays basketball and is still rehabbing from an injury, my heart just sunk, man. That sucked. I can't even imagine that in the biggest moment, hitting three threes to get things going, like the momentum was shifting. I can't even imagine that. That's one of those, like, I know he's a pro athlete. He's getting paid millions. He's going to get the best rehab, the best doctors, all that. And I still feel for him. I'm like, gosh, I'm sending good vibes his way, because that is unimaginable.
Yeah, just the product of playing that sport at a high level, you hear him talk about it. He said, I would do it again. I would take that risk again because of what that game meant. And, of course, you take the chance of the course of your career maybe changing, because the numbers are not good for guys not named Kevin Durant coming back from Achilles. Kobe was older, so you can take that into account. But you look at even some of the young guys, like Brandon Jennings was never the same after his Achilles. It is an injury that can severely hamper what you are as an athlete going forward. Now, of course, we talked about it earlier. I did with Sean earlier in the week. He has been paid handsomely, so the money isn't an issue. Just what he will be as a basketball player is in question. And you hope, because he's younger, and although Kevin Durant was older when it happened to him, that the path is a little cleaner, and with advances in medicine, he'll be better. I would advise you to, if you haven't seen it, if we're just talking about athletes to root for, I talked about it earlier, look up what VJ Edgecombe had to say about how he had to struggle with his mom to get to the league. He's a new Sixer out of Baylor. That's a guy, when we try to maybe just look for a guy who's not on our favorite team, that hope he does well. I've already found mine for the 2025 draft, VJ Edgecombe. That story even got me. You know, I'm cynical. I don't cry about anything. So that his story after the draft got me. So I would say you take a look at that. And then you can go on Twitter and be the phony that you are and quote tweeted it like you would and make it about yourself.
Oh, I'm going to look that up.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for Hill Rams and Ali. He'll join us when he can. We'll probably have him on more consistently when he's not got a vacation or busy with CityCast. The man's got stuff to do, so we enjoy it when he joins us. Thanks, Raheel.
All right. Thanks, Dell. See y'all later.
All right. Raheel Rams and Ali, the host of CityCast. You can find that podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Okay. We got maybe one more segment to go, considering how things went. We went long for the hill. He's a special guest. So we'll figure some things out and get back to you before we close it out at noon.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
We're done at noon, but, you know, the shows continue, and they're going to be out at Cactus Jack's in Baytown today from 12 to 6 p.m. Paul Gallant and then the Killer Bees. And, of course, it's part of our summer circuit, so you can meet those guys and get a chance to win a prize, a great prize. The Power On Electric Bicycle Company has provided us with a pair of brand-new bikes, e-bikes to give away. They're about a $4,000 value. All you have to do to have a chance to win is to stop in and register at the promo table. Got to be in attendance, and it's a registration once per event. So we're doing the summer circuit. You can register for the bikes at Cactus Jack's, and the next time we're out, you can as well. They're going to be out on Friday as well at Drift Bar. That is not part of the summer circuit, so there will be a promo table, but you can't register for the bikes, but you can hang out at Drift Bar with Paul Gallant and the Killer Bees. So they're going to be out in about the next couple of days, out of studio today, Cactus Jack's, tomorrow, Drift Bar. Okay, at the end of our time with Raheel, he mentioned the final. Well, I brought up the finals, and he mentioned Tyrese Halliburton and tearing his Achilles and how heartbreaking that was. Well, Adam Silver was asked about it last night at the draft, and the NBA is looking into why we have this influx of Achilles tears. It happened to Tatum. It happened to Dame. It's happened to Murray before the playoffs.
I think the stat is that there was 9 this year, and the previous high was like a decade ago, and it was 5.
Yeah, so what's the issue? So the NBA is obviously taking a look at it. It helps the investigation process to speed up when it stars. Like if it happened to a bunch of eight and nine men in rotations, it may not have gotten a lot of attention. But it has happened to the best players in the game, and Adam Silver and the NBA are taking a look at it. This is what he said about that yesterday during the draft.
And in fact, we had already convened a panel of experts before Tyrese's most recent Achilles rupture. So we had seven this year. We had zero last year under the exact same circumstances. And the most we've ever had in a season is four. NFL has had a rash of Achilles issues as well. So the purpose of convening those experts is to try to figure out what's going on. You know, it's interesting. When we look back at the last 10 years, the majority of the Achilles injuries have happened before the All-Star break. So it's not clear it's the number of games. And as you know, modern NBA players, even when they're not playing games, sometimes in the summer, they're working harder than they are during the season when they're playing three games a week. They're often playing every day. Some experts think it may have more to do with youth basketball. It may have as much to do with what they do from 10 to 19. Increasingly, they're single-sport athletes. These guys train also harder. Then when I talk to veteran players now, I was talking to Andre Iguodala the other day, the head of the Players Association. He's saying he's counseling a lot of these players that they need more rest on their body in the off season. I mean, you've got guys working out three times a day.
So he said a lot to say, we don't know why it's happening. We're going to try to figure it out. There are multiple theories about why this is occurring more often. They don't know. They got their experts on it. And maybe they'll have an answer, or maybe it's one of those things like the Yankees letter that never gets revealed. Different leagues, but sometimes these things come to nothing.
It could also just be, their evidence is inconclusive.
Yeah, there's nothing to point to exactly why this is happening. It just had a jump this year when he said they had zero last year. So if they had zero last year, what could have changed between
and
last year?
It could just be normally you get three per year, and you got zero last year, and so it just kind of averaged out. You got a ton this year. And like he mentioned, that a lot of them happen early in the season, historically. Like, obviously, we notice and we talk about the ones that all happened in the three that happened in the playoffs with Dame, Tatum, and now Tyrese Haliburton. But if it is something where it's like it seems like it's a hard nut to crack. I mean, I guess, obviously, or else they would have already fixed it. But everything that he mentioned, it's like, that'd be a tough fix. Like, if it's early in the season, like, I don't really know. Limiting games doesn't really help that. You know, like, shutting down, if it's not a wear and tear type injury, despite, you know, with the Durant one in 2019 and the Tyrese one where they're preceded with calf injuries. But, yeah, if it's like a youth basketball problem, just, all right, add that to the list of youth basketball problems.
Yeah, as if they didn't have enough. Tim Grover, the famous trainer for Michael Jordan, suggested that it is about how the guys are training, how they're training specifically, and because they're training, as opposed to lifting weights, they're doing all the bands and muscle strengthening, stretching and stuff like that, just lifting weights.
I like Tim Grover being like,
well, he's got a vested interest in
get
saying,
on the bench,
this
dude.
Is the way this should be done, as opposed to the way you're doing it. I am a famous trainer. It's my business to do it a certain way. So
throw some plates on.
He has a theory,
resistance band,
that, hey, all the guys who used to just lift weights and run never had Achilles issues. You guys doing it the wrong way have all the issues.
Yeah, and you mentioned Kobe when talking about this with Raheel. It also, maybe just anecdotally, but I feel like it had the perception of it was kind of a old man injury,
and
or
it
like
happened
a
to
late,
Kevin Durant.
Late in your career injury.
You played a lot of minutes.
Yeah.
A lot of high
and
tempo games.
Coming back early from related injury, I would say. An injury higher up on his leg. And so it could have been like a little bit of a compensation thing. He was jumping straight into a finals game. He played most of the first quarter and he popped in the second. So, like, there's a lot of factors there. But with Haliburton and Tatum, like, these guys in the mid-20s.
Prime of their careers.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's a tough one.
Yeah, we'll see if all their investigating leads to anything, and more importantly, if there's a solution to this, or this is just going to be happenstance, and when it happens, and you just are just a victim of the luck of the draw, or you're unlucky when that draw comes your way. All right, let's get to Anton. He wants to talk about this. What's up, Anton?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
We're good. How are you?
Doing pretty good. I just wanted to talk about the Achilles thing. I'm in my 40s, so I used to play ball back in the day. I think that with the Achilles thing and some of these ankle injuries that these guys are having, I think it got a lot to do with their shoes. Because a lot of these guys are wearing like mid-level shoes, not high-top sneakers like they used to. And I think that's one cause of the problem. That was all I just had to say.
Appreciate it, Anton. Now, I've heard that before, and then I've heard people dismiss it out of hand. I would say let's not dismiss anything because no one has an answer for it. But I've heard Anton say that, or what Anton said, be out there about the shoes and what they're wearing. And then people go, can't be the shoes, which is funny because that was actually an ad campaign at one point. But
it must be the shoes.
So we will see. Anton, you might be right. I don't have an answer. Not a lot of people do. And maybe it's just bad luck and we'll have none next year. But 9 is tough. And then when it happens to your stars, answers, I guess, should be looked for. I just don't know what you're going to find.
Yeah, it's so tough, and it's so tough because there are a bunch of individual cases. So finding the connective tissue between all of these is tough, and then it being the right answer also. Like, you can find a pattern, but the pattern might be unrelated. I have heard stuff about the shoes wearing lower cut sneakers now with some of these injuries, and I think I'm open to it.
Yeah, I'm open to any reason that can be found,
because Kobe was wearing lows when he tore his Achilles.
Yeah, and generally now Kevin Durant's a unicorn of an athlete, but generally guys who are his size weren't wearing low cut shoes.
Yeah,
just because they couldn't do the things he did. They're playing in the paint for the most part. A guy who is healthy, and unlike some of the guys like Tatum and Halliburton and Lillard, who have made plenty. Look, your NBA guys make plenty of money, but they not all have made generationally life changing money. One of those guys is Austin Reeves. Austin Reeves has turned down a 4-year, $90 million max extension from the Lakers because in free agency he can make a ton more. Like, if you signed the deal, he would start off at 19.9, so pretty much $20 million. He's bypassing it. Now, he's not going to make this money because he's Austin Reeves, but he would be eligible in free agency for a deal starting roughly at $42.5 million a year. If the Lakers brought him back.
So that's like 4-1.
But 4 for $182 if another team signed him. So he's decided to test free agency. Okay. Austin Reeves probably isn't getting paid $42.5 million from the Lakers in year one of his new deal. But is he capable of playing so well? And then the Lakers saying, sorry, too rich for us, that someone would give him 4 years, $182.9 million. I would say no, but then I remember Tyler Johnson got paid $90 million. So if it can happen to Tyler Johnson, it's a different era, so the money's different. But Tyler Johnson, a combo guard,
bench,
smaller than Austin Reeves, but
bench player for most of his career.
Yeah, but wound up because of injuries and lack of talent on, I think, the Heat roster, wound up having a really good year, and the Nets giving him an offer sheet, which the Heat dumbly matched. And they eventually had to get off of that with picks years later, I believe. So ridiculous money has been given out to guys who you don't think are worth it. Austin Reeves is better than Tyler Johnson is. I don't know that he's 4 years, 182 max dollars from someone better. I don't know who is going to look at him and go, he is clearly at worst a number two for us.
Yeah, this because right puts now us over the top.
Because right now he is a 3 with the Lakers, and I talk about it quite a bit here and other places when just having conversations. People underestimate how difficult it is to be a 1.
Yeah.
Austin Reeves has never had to deal with being even a 2. He's either played behind LeBron and Anthony Davis or now LeBron and Luka. So by the time it's time for someone to pay him, you're not going to know if he's capable of handling what it takes to be a one or a two. And are you willing to make him a max player after being able to play with LeBron and Luka? I wouldn't, but he's taking the chance. And look, there are levels between what he turned down and what a max deal is, so it could be somewhere in between. But maybe that makes the Lakers more willing to trade him now that he's decided he's not signing that max extension. So it's already been a summer so far of movement. Even before the season was over, we had a big trade, like hours before the season was over. So we'll see if Austin Reeves is the next player on the move, and we'll see who antes up for him. Because he's going to want, if he does get traded, he'll probably tell you, I'm going to wait. So are you going to trade for Austin Reeves without the guarantee that you're going to get him locked up? That's another thing to take into account if you did want to make a move. Okay, that music means we're done for the day. And with that music saying we're done, what does that mean, Sean?
Oh, he's dope.
LeBron was talking about himself, but maybe he has said that about Austin Reeves as well. Okay, but before we completely say goodbye, I want to tell you about Top Dog Fireworks. It's about that time. And you don't have to wait till July 4th. Trust me, I've heard it in my neighborhood. People start the fireworks way before July 4th. And maybe you're one of those people, and this is why you have Top Dog for you. So the best thing about Top Dog is they are giving you a chance to get things at the best prices. You can shop early for that best selection at the best prices. They have that buy one, get one free wall that you can take a look at. Over 100 buy one, get one free items. And then they also have their daily store promotions. There are 14 locations across the Houston area. And if you spend $250, you receive a reward as long as supplies last. And then if you don't know where to go, just go to topdogfireworks.com to find the location nearest you. And a portion of every sale goes towards supporting the local youth. So generally, fireworks are thought of as something for kids. I know adults do it as well, but help the local kids in your community by going to Top Dog Fireworks. And you can enter to win the Top Dog Fireworks holiday giveaway contest. Each store location will have a winner of a fireworks assortment valued at over $450. And if you enter to win, even if you don't win that, you have the opportunity to win the grand prize, which is the Top Dog Beast assortment. That's valued over $1,100. To enter to win, just visit a Top Dog Fireworks location or their website, topdogfireworks.com, and complete that entry form and have a chance to have a great July 4th weekend and even the days leading up to it. Top Dog Fireworks.